I'm wondering how many people here have ever memorized the 23rd Psalm. Quite a few. Yeah. I think I did that when I was 8 years old because I was in Bible school. Everybody knows what Bible school is? Summer vacation Bible school, a time when the churches would sometimes come together and do a collective education for the children. It wasn't expensive, which is why I got to go. My mother was thrilled that she could send all three of, we had five kids in the family, but at least three of us got to go to Bible school at the same time. And the old, broken down, yellow school bus that the church that we were attending had purchased, it had no air conditioning, as you might guess. I grew up in Chicago. It was 95 and humid, and so those crickety windows were rattling around in that old door that opens and closes in the middle. Come rolling through the neighborhood in the morning and pick us up and bring us back late in the afternoon. I can remember standing in front of a microphone on Parents' Night. The microphone was a little bigger than this one. It said GE on it. It was about, it seemed to me, as with an eight-year-old face, who was probably down like this, and the microphone looked as big as a stage. Because that's all I could see, except for peripheral vision, I could see all of these people in the audience. And so the whole of my face was covered. And peering around the edges, I knew that my parents were there somewhere, but I didn't really want to think about that too much because I didn't want to get too nervous about that. My job was to repeat the 23rd Psalm from memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then freeze. But a loving teacher off stage behind a curtain, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then it came and we started. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you notice the King James is what I was taught? Now you can read it all different ways. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water, and you refresh my life. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod make me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house. Different interpretations, different words, similar message. It's one part of Scripture that we say over and over again. It never fails to bring comfort to our spirit. Its beauty, its poetic grace. All who read it or hear it, whatever their age or their race or their religious background or circumstance, everyone seems to find comfort, don't they, in those words? Peace and satisfaction. We'll say it at a funeral. We'll say it at a time of devotion. We'll say it when we just need to meditate and have peace. The weary have found rest. The sick have found comfort. Those who are grieving have found assurance. Have you heard of CNN syndrome? CNN is that broadcasting thing on the television that takes one topic and talks it to death. They have more interviews of more people talking about the same thing for hours and hours and hours in every different which way you can think of. And people have gotten so addicted, if you will, to what they're going to say next that they hang on every word. And so they have the television on going hour after hour after hour with the same headline. And it's always the breaking headline. Well, I thought that broke. Well, lately there have been lots of breaking headlines. So my suggestion is that the 23rd Psalm is the antidote to CNN syndrome. That when you find yourself getting too consumed and feeling like you really have to get back to the media to find out what's going on next, and it becomes this obsession, find a quiet place, step back, recite the 23rd Psalm, and your troubles will be over. It's the Shepherd Psalm, they say, appropriately named. Facing the valleys and the shadows of life, it remembers life's delights. It's simple. There's a childlike element almost, isn't there, in those words, and a reminder of the presence of God, a reminder of those words in John where Jesus said, "I am the great shepherd," and we heard a bit of that passage read just a few minutes ago. It's a life story. It's a happy ending. It gives trust and confidence. It breathes it into us like filling us with the Spirit. It's the stream of clear water. It's a field of green grass. It's the water that runs deep into our hearts. It's the fields that bring peace to our souls. It brings forth an acknowledgement of the never-failing love and goodness of God. And oh, don't we need to hear that message now. It's a particular portion of Scripture that calls us and challenges us as well, and asks us to find peacefulness and rest in our own lives, to find hopeful things in this world, to look to eternity with God's grace leading the way and God's providential care. It's intensely personal. The Lord is my shepherd. 17 times in that passage, the possessive my or me or I is used. There was a story about this father who was trying to teach his daughter, who was a young reader, to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And so he began reciting it to her. "The Lord is my shepherd." And he said, "You know, dear, he can be your shepherd too. Now, repeat after me." And she said, "The Lord is your shepherd." No, dear. "The Lord is my shepherd." "Yes, Dad, the Lord is your shepherd." "No, but you understand, he can be your shepherd, but he's my shepherd." "No, he's my shepherd, and he can be your shepherd." Well, they got really confused. She was able finally to repeat as it was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and learned the passage as well. Somehow those things that we commit to memory and heart come back and call us, don't they, from time to time? And I don't know why exactly from time to time this particular passage comes back to me, but the fact that it is a part of me, that it's within me, that it's something that I recall at times when I feel stressed or challenged, times when I need assurance, not quite sure how or why God puts those words on my heart. "The Lord is my shepherd." How many times have I repeated that since that first time standing behind that GE microphone? The Lord is my shepherd. "For the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I must be one of his sheep." Now, obviously, when Jesus was teaching about this, and in the Gospel of John, you hear a bit of the kind of teaching that was going on, sheep were fairly common in their culture. I can tell you, sheep were not common in my culture. I grew up in the city. I grew up, you know, thinking that chicken came in bags. And that milk came in cartons or bottles. Some people grew up with a different understanding of those things. Is that true? So how in the world can, in this advanced scientific culture, how can we understand and connect this notion of being a sheep of all things? That's not a very flattering thing to call somebody. "Hi, you look like a sheep today." I don't think that's going to work so well. I would have preferred the king of beasts, the lion. But a sheep? We are one of the creatures. I want to be a creature of the highest order. I want to be in charge. But who am I to second guess God anyhow? God decided it was a sheep. When I served a church in Gardner, Mass., one of our church families had a small family farm. And guess what? They raised sheep on the farm. In fact, they had bees and sheep, so they called it the Honey Lamb Farm. And it was a great place for kids. We ended up actually moving our vacation Bible school to the farm. It was only a mile outside of town, and we fixed it all up. We put out tents and temporary structures, and for a week we brought kids from all over the city that I was serving at that time, and we probably had 100 plus or 125 kids all going to vacation Bible school at Honey Lamb Farm. So, my friends Bruce and Sandy taught me all about sheep. They invited us at shearing time, so we got to actually see the sheep get sheared when they're really big and full, and then all of a sudden they look like these scrawny little remnant. It's kind of unattractive, actually, after they get sheared off. So I'm thinking, God, how am I like a sheep? There was a book many years ago called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Some of you may have read that, by Philip Keller. And he talked about that whole issue of if God views us as one of his. And it was the relationship that was so important. It wasn't necessarily the animal at all. It could have been a cow, it could have been something else, but sheep, you know, somehow it was known in the culture. And Jesus was able to communicate the simplicity and the trust and the notion of following the shepherd and the relationship between the shepherd and the flock of sheep. One of the things that I noticed when I was able to be around the sheep is that they were afraid of strangers. I think that's what it said in the scripture today. So if I came along, they would move to the other side. if Bruce came out shaking the box of goodies that he was going to feed them, they all came and clustered around him very, very quickly. They frightened easily. One time a dog got in their pen and attacked. They were mortified. There's so many aspects that, when I think about it, characteristics of those sheep that are like we as these frail human beings. They frighten easily. I frighten easily. I fear failing. I fear success. Success can ruin a person, you know. If you don't handle it just right, if you don't believe it, ask anybody who won the lottery. I've never won the lottery. But I've heard tell that if you do win the lottery, it changes you as a person. Suddenly, you're successful. You have everything that you want for the rest of your life, and it changes you. So, maybe that's something I'd like to try. Except that I don't play the lottery because I figure I'm saving $5 if I don't spend it. I fear my own limitations. Sheep are impatient. Around feeding time, they were really eager to get that connection made. They were hungry. During the day camp, we ended up moving the sheep to another pasture because they were so nervous with all of the kids around. And we were concerned that the kids might be feeding them the wrong things. A little bit of their extra peanut butter and jelly lunch. Not good for sheep. But they were impatient. They were scared. They followed the shepherd. They followed the one who fed them. They were pleasant. They were fun to pet. But sometimes we noticed they picked at each other. One would bump into the other one, and then the other one would bump into them. Sound like your kids in the middle seat in the back of the car? They're so much like us. Sometimes for no apparent reason, hard to understand, they would just do what they could to irritate each other. And somebody would have to intervene. What does it mean for us to be the sheep of our great shepherd? The one who follows. The one who cares. The one who protects. The one who will compliment us and not expect anything in return. Can we be grateful? Can we accept God's love in the way that God's love was intended? The sheep followed each other. If one started to move, they all followed along. Sometimes we follow that crowd. Sometimes if you opened the pen, they would go astray. Constant care was needed. A firm but gentle hand. Someone to direct, someone to guide. What would it take for us to understand and appreciate the protection of a great shepherd whose care and presence, even in times of solitude and prayer and meditation, can guide us? In John, I am the great shepherd. That was verse 11. I should have had Michael read one more verse. Verse 11. I am the great shepherd. The sheep, with their distinctive characteristics, are more like us than we think or we know. And I thought I was a sophisticated city kid. Turns out I'm more like a sheep than anybody would have guessed. The sheep are silent before their shearer. They do not retaliate. They know their shepherd's voice. They belong to the shepherd, and the shepherd is the one that guides them. As Christians, we belong to the good shepherd, Jesus our Christ. I am his. He is mine. He is my shepherd. Not yours. He could be yours. But think about it. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not about what anybody else is doing. It's about my relationship to my God. He knows me by name. He cares for me as I am. He'll be with me even to the point of death and beyond. He forgives me. He leads me. He brings me back when I wander. He's my constant companion. I'm never alone. He's prepared my final resting place. What more could we want? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Perhaps one of the other versions is more appropriate here to say, I shall not lack. This 23rd Psalm. We learned it. All of us learned it. Many of us learned it. It comes back and it supports us. It strengthens us. Because God, our Heavenly Father, incarnate in our Lord Jesus Christ, reminds us how much He loves us. God loves us even if there are no others to love. He loves us all even if we think we're the only one. The Lord is our God. We are God's people, the sheep of His pasture, the children of His hand. There's a statement this week prepared by Boston area religious leaders in response to the trouble visited upon Charlottesville, Virginia last week. And they called it out. White bigots, some proudly wearing Nazi regalia, shouting racist invectives, egging for a fight, engaged in brutish scuffles, fear-mongering, and even murder in the broad of daylight. Alas, these are unoriginal sins. But what was surprising, they write, and utterly disheartening, was the failure of some of our leaders, political, national, and religious, to unequivocally decry what had been happening with condemnation. One of those strange moments when I witnessed those things, as many of you did as well through the television, is that the thing that came to me was the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And I felt that and repeated that in my head again and again and again. I shall not be afraid, for you, O God, are with me. We are God's people. We witnessed yesterday in the historic city of Boston, people coming together by the thousands to proclaim that love will out. The Lord is my shepherd. We will decry abhorrent behaviors. We will fight hate with love. We will proclaim that the Lord is my shepherd. My good shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Remind us, O God, of your presence. Remind us that you are the great shepherd. Remind us that we have nothing to fear, for you, O God, are with me. Bless us as we proclaim your love in these days, for we ask it through Christ. Amen.